and sympathetic joy or gladness, mudita. Its near enemy, what? Is joy based on the home life. That means becoming merry, joyful, with attachment. Such joy has been described. So, an aversion or boredom or non-delight, which is dissimilar to the similar joy, is its far enemy. So something like envy is its far enemy. So gladness should be practiced free from fear or danger of that. And then equanimity has the equanimity of unknowing based on the home life as its near enemy. That is not knowing, ignorance. The ignorance which is not accompanied by pleasurable feeling or displeasurable feeling. So accompanied by indifferent feeling, and it is ignorance. Since both share in ignoring faults and virtues. And then it's and greed and resentment, which are dissimilar to similar unknowing, are its far enemies. So its far enemies are greed and resentment. You can either fall into greed or into resentment. And they are far enemies. Therefore, equanimity must be practiced free from fear or danger of that. So each of these has two kinds of enemies, near enemies and far enemies. So we should be careful both about near enemies and far enemies when we practice. And the beginning, middle and end. Now zeal is the Pali Chanda. Consisting in desire to act is the beginning of all these things. Suppression of the hindrances, etc. is the middle. Absorption is the end. So jhana is the end. Their object is a single living being or many living beings as a mental object consisting in a concept. Because beings are concept, it is called concept. Then the order of extension. Now here in the order, the extension of the object takes place either in excess or in absorption. Here is the order of it. Just as a skilled plowman first delimits an area and then does his plowing, so first a single dwelling should be delimited and loving-kindness developed towards all beings there in the way beginning. In this dwelling may all beings be free from enmity. And then, when you have gained experience with that, then you can extend your range of loving-kindness by taking in two dwellings, then three dwellings, four dwellings, and so on, until the whole village, the district, the kingdom, one direction, and so on, up to one wall sphere, or even beyond that, and develop loving-kindness towards the beings in such areas. That is why when I teach loving-kindness, I teach in two ways. The first is, say, by way of persons, may I be well, happy, and peaceful, may my teachers be well, happy, and peaceful, may my parents be well, happy, and peaceful, and so on. And the other way is, may all beings in this building be well, happy, and peaceful, and may all beings in this area, in this city, in this county, in this state, in this country, in this world be well, happy, and peaceful, in this universe, and then may all beings in general be well, happy, and peaceful. So this is extending little by little. Now the outcome. What results can you get from the practice of these four kinds of divine abidings? Just as the immaterial states are the outcome of the kasinas, and the base consisting of neither perception nor non-perception is the outcome of concentration. There should be a comma there. And fruition attainment is the outcome of insight. And the attainment of cessation is the outcome of serenity coupled with insight. So the divine abiding of equanimity is the outcome of the first three divine abidings. Because in order to be successful in the fourth one, you have to be successful first in the three preceding divine abidings. For just as the gable rafters cannot be placed in the air without having first set up the scaffolding and built the framework of being, so it is not possible to develop the fourth jhana in this without having already developed the third jhana in that. Now, in this paragraph, it is said that immaterial states are the outcome of the kasinas. Kasina really means jhanas developed on kasinas. Okay, you take kasinas as the object of meditation, and then you practice meditation and you get jhana. If you do not get rupa-vadit vachara jhanas, then you do not get arupa vachara jhanas. That is why it is said that the kasina jhanas are, and the immaterial states are the outcome of kasina jhanas. And the base consisting of neither perception nor non-perception is the outcome of concentration. The fourth arupa vachara jhana is the outcome of the third arupa vachara jhana, concentration. And fruition attainment is the outcome of insight. Now, when you practice vipassana meditation and you become enlightened. So when you gain enlightenment, you gain fruition attainment. So fruition attainment is the outcome of insight meditation. And the attainment of cessation is the outcome of serenity coupled with insight. Now, there is an attainment called cessation attainment. That means cessation of mental activities. So it is a very highly developed type of jhana. And in order to get into that jhana, you must first have all the 8 or 9 jhanas. So you enter into first jhana and then emerges from it, and then enter into the second jhana, third jhana, and so on until you reach the fourth arupa vachara jhana. And from first jhana, after emerging from the first jhana, you practice vipassana there, and then you enter into the second jhana, that is samatha, serenity meditation, and then you practice vipassana on that jhana or on the factors of jhana and so on. So vipassana and samatha go in a coupled way. So it is stated here that outcome of serenity coupled with insight. The explanation of this attainment will be given at the end of the book. So the divine abiding of equanimity is the outcome of the first three divine abiding and so on. Now questions. But why are the loving kindness, compassion, gladness and equanimity called divine abidings and so on? Now the word, the Pali word for divine abiding is Brahma Vihara. Vihara means living. So it is here translated as abiding. And Brahma, the word Brahma has two meanings here. One is the best, and the other is faultless, so immaculate. And these abidings are called the best because they are the right attitude towards beings. So these are the right attitudes we should have towards beings, and so they are called the best. And just as Brahma gods abide with immaculate minds, so the meditators who associate themselves with these abidings abide on an equal footing with Brahma gods. So the Brahmas have immaculate minds, so their minds are not contaminated by some mental defilements. And a person who practices any one of these meditations is like a Brahma, because the Brahma gods in the world of the Brahmas always practice these four divine abidings, because they live with these four divine abidings. They have no other thing to do. So these are called Brahma Vihara. The abiding like that of the Brahmas, we can call that too. We can see that too. So they are called divine abidings in the sense of best and in the sense of immaculate. So best way of abiding or faultless way of abiding. Why are they only four? And then the answer given is because the way to purity is fourfold. Loving kindness is the way to purity for one who has much ill will. Compassion is that for one who has much cruelty. Gladness is that for one who has much non-delight. And equanimity is that for one who has much greed.
How about grumpy?
Grumpy?
Grumpy.
I don't know. And attention given to beings is only fourfold. That is to say, as bringing welfare, as removing suffering, as being glad at their success, and as unconcerned. That is to say, impartial neutrality. That is the second reason. The third reason is, one abiding in measureless states should practice loving kindness and the rest like a mother with four sons, namely a child, an invalid, one in the flush of youth, and one busy with his own affairs. For she wants the child to grow up, wants the invalid to get well, wants the one in the flush of youth to enjoy for long the benefits of youth, and is not at all bothered about the one who is busy with his own affairs. So these four Brahma Viharas. That is why the measureless states are only four. It's due to past purity and other sets of four. Now the order. The order is just loving kindness, compassion, gladness and equanimity. Now why are they called measureless? Now, paragraph 110. For their scope is measureless beings. That means their object is beings without measure, without exception. So all of them occur with a measureless scope, for their scope is measureless beings. And instead of assuming a measure such as loving kindness, etc., should be developed only toward a single being or in an area of such an extent, they occur with universal pervasion. What does that mean? Then when you practice loving kindness to a person, it cannot be called measureless. Now, the translation is a little off the mark. What is meant here, or what is written by the original author is, even towards one person, even when you are practicing towards one person, it can be called measureless. And because you do not limit your loving kindness to one part of his body. So that is what is meant here. So even in regard to a single being, they occur with universal pervasion without assuming a measure, as loving kindness should be developed in this much part of him. Say something like, may his head be well, happy and peaceful. May the upper part of his body be well, happy and peaceful, or so on. So you take the whole being. So even with regard to a single person, it can be called measureless. That is what is meant here. And then producing three jhanas and four jhanas. So the first three can produce how many jhanas? Three or four. The last one can produce the fourth or the fifth. Yeah, only one jhana. Now there is a discussion here, say, with an opponent. Now from paragraph 112, the argument and counter-argument, something like that. So the opponent pointed to a sutta, and he took that sutta to mean that the all four or five jhanas can be obtained by the practice of metta, karuna, and mudita also. The form we see in that sutta may point to that, if you are not really familiar with Abhidhamma. Buddha said, see, after you practice loving kindness, then you should go on making this loving kindness with vitaka and vichara, with vitaka, without vitaka, but with vichara, and so on. So when you read it superficially, you may also think that you can get all four or five jhanas through metta meditation and so on. And that is not so. So the author said, he should be told, do not put it like that, for if that was so, then contemplation of the body, etc., would also have quadruple and quintuple jhana. Because Buddha taught about contemplation of body also in the same way. But contemplation of the body can produce only the first jhana, not the other jhanas. It is mentioned back. And there is not even the first jhana in the contemplation of feeling, or in the other two. Now, or in the other two is wrong. So in its place, we should have not even the first jhana in the contemplation of feeling, let alone the second and so on. So please correct that. Let alone the second and so on. So when you practice feeling contemplation, you cannot get even the first jhana, let alone second, third, fourth, and fifth. So do not misinterpret, misrepresent the Buddha, Blessed One, by adherence to the latter. And then he explained this. Now, about five lines down, paragraph 114. But the Blessed One had no confidence yet in that bhikkhu. That was the word I was talking to you about. So actually, the Buddha scolded that monk by saying, these people, I think that is, some misguided men merely question me, and when the Dhamma is expounded to them, they still fancy that they need to follow me, something like that. So that monk asked the Buddha to teach him, and Buddha taught him, and he didn't practice. And then he again asked Buddha to teach him. But Buddha saw that he had capability to become an arahant. So this time the Buddha taught him, and this. So, school, can you give me a more appropriate word?
Scold?
Dismiss with something.
Scold, is that?
Hmm? Yeah. Scold at him.
Reject.
Reject. Chastise.
Yeah.
Very good, yes. So Buddha chastised him, and not had no confidence yet in him. He misread the word, the right word, but with a wrong division. So Buddha chastised the monk. And the meaning here is, although when you read the Pali, the Sutta, it seemed to mean that you can practice loving-kindness meditation, and then you can get first, second, third, fourth, fifth jhana from the practice of loving-kindness meditation. But what Buddha meant there was that you practice meditation, metta meditation, and you may get say first jhana or second jhana or third jhana. But do not be content with that. Try to get other higher jhanas by taking other subjects of meditation, not middha meditation. If you want to get fourth or fifth jhana, then you have to practice other kind of meditation, not middha meditation. Because by the practice of middha meditation, you can get only to the third or the fourth jhana. That is what is meant. And in the footnote on page 349, now, mere unification of the mind, the kind of concentration that is undeveloped, I think that is not too developed, not undeveloped, because it is a little developed, but not developed enough. So that is not too developed and just obtained by one in pursuit of development and so on. Now, so next we'll go to paragraph 119, the highest limit of each. And while they are twofold by way of the triple, quadruple jhana and the single remaining jhana, still they should be understood to be distinguishable in each case by different efficacy consisting in having beauty as the highest, etc., for they are so described in the Haliti Vasana Sutta and so on. Now, beauty as the highest is not a good translation for the word. That is, liberation with the beautiful as object. Liberation with the beautiful as object. And here, liberation means jhanas. Jhanas which take pleasant things as objects, something like that. So loving kindness is the basic support for the liberation with the beautiful as object. And one who abides in compassion has come to know thoroughly the danger in materiality, since compassion is aroused in him when he sees the suffering of beings that has as its, I think material science would call, that is, as its cause, form beaten with sticks and so on. You get the sentence there?
221.
121. Yeah.
Is it cause?
Has as its cause form beaten with sticks.
So
form means a body.
So it should read, one who abides in compassion has come to know thoroughly the danger. Immateriality is not so good.
Immateriality, since compassion is aroused in him when he sees the suffering of beings, that has as its cause form beaten with sticks and so on.
It has as its cause form.
Yes. Beaten with sticks and so on. And then ...123. There is a lot of existent and non-existent things in that passage. So, what you should keep in mind is happiness and pain, sukha and dukkha, are said to be existent because they belong to paramattha, they belong to ultimate reality, because sukha as well as dukkha are among the mental factors. Sukha is a pleasurable feeling, and dukkha is displeasurable feeling. And so they are among the 52 mental states, mental factors, and so they are said to be existent things. But a being is non-existent according to ultimate reality, or in the ultimate sense. A being is just a combination of mind and matter, or combination of five aggregates. And so when we say a being, it is non-existent. And when we say sukha and dukkha, then sukha and dukkha are existent. So if you keep that in mind, then I think you can understand this paragraph 123. Now, upekkha is not interested in the happiness of beings or in suffering of beings. It takes just the beings as an object, not the happiness or suffering of beings, not the sukha or dukkha of beings. So a person who practices upekkha meditation becomes skilled in taking what is non-existent, that is beings, as object. So it is easier for him, for such a person, to take the non-existent, the other kind of non-existent as object, and that is the base consisting of which is non-existent to the individual essence of consciousness, which is a reality. Now, the third arupa vachara, the third immaterial jhana, is what? Non-existence of the first arupa vachara jhana. So non-existence is itself non-existent. Non-existence is a concept. It is not reality. So a person who is skilled in taking concept as object when he practices upekkha meditation will find it very easy to take non-existence or nothingness of the first consciousness as object when he tries to get the immaterial jhanas. Now, in order to get the third arupa vajra jhana, you have to take the absence of first arupa vajra jhana as object. You know arupa vajra jhana, this immaterial jhanas. Most of the jhanas we are talking about are the material jhanas. So to get to the immaterial jhanas, which will be described in the coming chapter.
Same as formless.
Oh yes, formless jhana. So in order to get the third formless jhana, you have to meditate on the absence of the first formless jhana. So that absence is nothing. So that is just a concept. So if you are skilled in taking concept as object when you practice upekkha meditation, then you will find it easier here to take the nothingness as object. So that is what is explained in paragraph 123. The sentences are long and involved, so it's not so easy to understand. So please keep in mind that when you say existent, it means sukha and dukkha, yeah. And when it says non-existent, that means the beings, because the beings are non-existent in the ultimate sense. Okay, the others are not difficult to understand. The footnote number 20 is very good. Because even in the Burmese edition, there's a mistake. And in the Sinhalese edition, the reading is right, and he took the Sinhalese edition here. You may not understand this, but here he said, reading in both cases, avijamana gahana dukkham, and not dukkham. Dukkham and dukkham, they have two very different meanings. Dukkham means skilled, and dukkha means suffering. So here, the correct reading should be dukkha, and not dukkha. Just the difference of A and U. So he detected this, and very good. And then on page 353, it is interesting here, because by the practice of these, you also fulfill the 10 paramitas. In Theravada Buddhism, there are 10 paramitas to be fulfilled, especially by bodhisattvas and also by any person. So these 10 paramitas are here mentioned. And to all beings, they give gifts. And that means giving. That is the first paramita. And in order to avoid doing harm to beings, they undertake the precepts of virtue. That is second paramita. The first is sila, and the first is dana, and the second sila. They practice renunciation. That is the third paramita, for the purpose of perfecting their virtue. They cleanse their understanding. That is a fourth, panya, for the purpose of non-confusion about what is good and bad for beings. They constantly arouse energy, that is a fifth, virya, having beings' welfare and happiness at heart. When they have acquired heroic fortitude through supreme energy, they become patient, kanti, seventh, fourth, fifth, or sixth. They do not deceive, that means truthfulness, that is seventh?
Yes.
Yeah. They do not deceive when promising, we shall give you this, we shall do this for you. They are unshakably resolute upon beings. So resoluteness, the eighth paramita. In Pali it is called adhiṭṭhāna, firmness of resolution. Through unshakable loving-kindness, this is the ninth, they place them first before themselves. Actually, here what it means is, they do favor first. Now, Pali word pubba kari. Pubba means first, and kari means doing. So, they do first means they don't wait for you to do favor to them. So, they do first. So, through unshakable loving kindness, they do favor first. And then through equanimity, the tenth, they expect no reward. Having thus fulfilled the 10 perfections, these divine abidings, then perfect all the good states classed as the 10 powers, the 4 kinds of fearlessness, and the 6 kinds of knowledge not shared by disciples, and the 18 states of the enlightened one. This is how they bring to perfection all the good states, beginning with giving. So these 10 paramitas can be fulfilled by the practice of 4 divine abidings. There's so much to talk about. I intended to go to the next, but I could not. I cannot. Okay, next week.
So we should read through.
Let me see how many pages. Maybe more than 20 pages.
Full chapter?
300 full chapter, let me see. Yes.
372.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's through
372,
yes,
chapter 10.
The next chapter, the whole chapter.